Well, for those of you who may have missed this, the last year in February, Jane Kirkpatrick and Maggie Hansen from our church and myself went with Kelly Bean, who's the executive director for African Road, the organization we partner with in Burundi. And we spent 2 weeks in Burundi and Rwanda. And we're there to be with the Batwa people who we are working with, the three villages. And our translator for the entire time was Jean-Claude Nkundwa. And Jean-Claude and I quickly discovered that we shared a real heart for reconciliation in this world. And Jean-Claude spent two years here in the U.S. getting a master's degree in justice and peace studies at Eastern Mennonite University and chose to go back to Burundi to be a part of the peacemaking process there. Things have, before I even met him, I knew him through his Facebook posts, which told of things coming together in such a way that it did not look good for the future of peace in Burundi. And I thought, now who is this guy? And why is he such a downer? and unfortunately, much of what he has seen coming has come, and Burundi is in a time of great pain. And just this last week, there was an article that has put it at the poorest country in the world because of all the unrest added on top of the poverty. But Jean-Claude is actually a man of tremendous hope. And he's just come off 2 weeks on the East Coast, a week spent in New York at the United Nations, where he met with the U.S. ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power, who's very supportive of the work he and his friends are doing, and with members of Congress advocating for peace in Burundi as well. And so we're so thankful for the amazing doors that were opened during that time, and now we get to have him here in Bend. So welcome, Jean-Claude. So I have to tell, if there's any connection to Mother's Day and you being here, it's that Jean-Claude was also with me in South Africa in January. We were there for a week together, so we spent a lot of time on long walks and talking, and we were talking about, I'm trying to get my microphone reattached to myself here. We were talking about names, because Jean-Claude is a father of two boys, and his newest little boy was on his way. And so we were talking about names, and I was saying, well, I have two girls, but the only boy name that I ever really loved, and you like this back there at the soundboard, was Nathan. So Nathan is our guest sound tech today. And so he went home, and I didn't think anything of it. He went home and he told his wife that I had said this, and she started crying, right? Yeah, she said, that's what I want to name our baby. So little Nathan King Nkundwa was born in March. Yeah, so I kind of claim him as my Nathan in the world. And I can't wait to meet him someday. So tell us, Jean-Claude, just a little bit about your story and where you come from and what led you to be where you're at today.
Yes, thank you so much. First of all, I want to thank God to give me this opportunity to be in front of another family that he brought together in another part of the world that I didn't know. And any time that I'm in a place like this and go anywhere that I have never been and see people coming together in the name of Christ, always reminds me how his word is true, how what he says, it's really being accomplished and how it's going to be accomplished, and just revive this desire of one day to see the people that he brought together one day around him as he promised us. So God bless you for choosing to follow him. So God bless you also for giving your life to him, and we're together, even though we are not in the same situation in the world. So as Jenny said, I'm from Burundi. I was born there and I grew up there. I only lived out of Burundi when I came here for doing my studies. I grew up in a country where people have been striving to see how stability can be possible. I was born from a mother who was always telling me stories about her also facing a lot of atrocities, and she has a lot of trauma in herself, and the kind of trauma also that was kind of communicated to us and bringing us to get to know the meaning of our life and who we are and where we are going to be and what's the end of the story. But the good thing is that my mom, in those suffering, she also Christ revealed himself to her. And as she was telling us about her pain and her difficulties, she was also communicating her hope in Christ. And I myself, when I was a teenager, my mom trying to think about when she dies, how her children are going to live. She was so anxious, and the only thing she would just say was to pray for us. Pray for us with us or without us. But one day, and many times, she would just call us to tell us the Bible stories. And one day I told her, "Mom, I think most of the stories you tell me are really boring. And I just want you to stop." And then she said, "Yeah, I want to stop, but before I stop, just come close to me." I remember that day she was very sick, and then she laid her hand on me and she said, "In Jesus' name, you'll be saved." And I said, "Okay, thank you." Then I left. I continued going to play soccer and I love sports so much. And then she passed away 3 years after. 3 years after is where I started thinking about my future. Where do I supposed to be? And what do I supposed to do in this world? Yes, I'm studying, it's fine, but what kind of man I'm dreaming to be? So those kind of questions were bringing me to get to ask some stories about God, especially that I grew up also with a grandpa who was so religious. And I would ask a lot of questions to my religious professors and friends. And so one day a friend of mine told me that, "Jean-Claude, I think God has a purpose on you." That was the very first time to hear that, whether in the church or in the religious conversation with friends. And the name purpose on me from God was really big, to understand that God, they say that he's powerful, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's the creator of the universe. He can have a purpose on individual, especially a person, a tiny guy like me. That was something I couldn't understand. And I started asking questions. "God, if you really hear me, if you really have that purpose on me, please tell me that. Please tell me." Sometimes I just cover myself when I'm sleeping and say, "Please, God, tell me if you have that purpose." Because that also created kind of fear on me. I say that. If really God has a purpose on me and I'm not working according to his will, what's going to be my end? So that brought me to pray and pray again. So one day a friend told me, "Come, let's go to church." And I said, "No, I'm not coming to church, because when I come to church, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me to stop drinking so much alcohol when I'm not drinking, actually. You're going to tell me just to stop all those list of sins that sometimes I never even know. So no time to lose. I'm not coming with you." I say, "Okay, but what are you doing this time? I say, "Nothing. But just come with me as you're spending nothing doing using that time." I say, okay, let's go. Then we come to church, and I really found man was so passionate. He was not talking about those sins that I was afraid of, but he was talking about biography. And I was a teenager, and I loved the history so much. And the biography he was talking about was for a man called Moses. And I like to know the biography and the life of politicians, because, as a guy growing up in war and knowing nothing except war fighting, so I was trying to get to read books concerning these European dictators like Mussolini, Mao Zedong, Chinese, and all those big dictators. So telling me about a biblical person who also he was describing as a political leader was so passionate to me. I said, "Wow, this is a great story." But then he started talking about the story of the man when he was a baby, and then come to tell about the story of the man
discovering the identity that he never knew, and then immediately decided to give up all the privilege that he has growing up in the palace as a son of king, but discovering that he has an identity related to the slaves. And he decided to renounce that identity as a privilege and accepted the identity of slaves. And that really struck me. And the purpose then he described, he accepted that. God put that desire of the truth so that he can be able to take the slaves into freedom. And immediately, that sent me back in 93, when civil war, then genocide, took place, and I was the sole leader, and I was the only one to escape in my family. And the question was, why did God protect me from genocide? So many strong young people who could fight or run away died. Many men that I know died. Many people that I know died that time. I was not able to run away from this big crowd that was looking for killing us. But why did God save me? That was a big question to ask. And then the voice came, you are called to take the slaves into freedom. The Burundian people are under slavery. Slavery of ethnicity, slavery of ethnic hatred, slavery of poverty, slavery of blindness. You have to take this path so that you can take that leadership. So this is what brought me to kneel in front of the pastor was teaching that time. I say, I'm a sinner. I want to follow Christ now. And they prayed for me, and they started nurturing me, teaching me the biblical truth, and little by little I started growing. Really, the blood of Christ saved me, and his word started sanctifying me, and as he was sanctifying me, I could have some illumination, and I could see finally who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. And so far, now I'm persevering in the faith. As Jenny told you about the reality of back home, things remain really hopeless, but in Christ, that hope remains powerful, because I know that he's the one who's leading the story, and we know where he's leading us. Until he comes to take us, I'm committed to continue with witnessing his kingdom in Burundi and the world. And today I'm so glad to be able to share the story with you.
Thank you. So you can see when I was looking for a scripture to read this morning, this was the one I picked. From 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And as I watch Jean-Claude work for peace in his country, I see that constant hope, that willingness to to live with the death and live with the bad news in order that the good news and the peace may be proclaimed. So how do you see change happening in Burundi?
Yeah, what appears in the media or what appears in what we try to alert the world to know and to work with really covered what also is happening underneath about people whom by trying to find way out in the situation, they also ask the same question that I was asking. And people who end up finally finding the real life in Christ and who have a life, who discover life in the heart, but yet still have to find life also out of yourself. So we're seeing since 1993 when civil war broke up. So we saw a strong movement of young people really longing to know God. And today we're seeing the same movement continuing. In 90s, for example, being a Christian back home was like something for illiterate people, uneducated people. But today, in all the country, there is no single high school, no single university, no single education institution that which doesn't have Bible cell. Mm. It's amazing. It's a huge change, and for us, it brings us what may the country may become in the future. So despite this war, despite these difficulties we're facing, we are seeing young people running to find God. And this is a big change in the history of Burundi.
Yeah. One thing I really appreciate about your perspective is that it's not just, it's not gonna be a governmental thing that happens.
Yeah.
And the history of politics all around the world tells it doesn't come from the government, but that it is something that arises within the hearts of people to make peace, to be peace, to find peace within themselves. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
If you would like to have more conversations with Jean-Claude, he'll be at TAP tonight. So you're welcome to come, and we'll just have more of a forum to have conversation tonight at 6 o'clock. But before we close, let me pray for you and pray for Burundi. God, we pray for Jean-Claude, and we thank you for the privilege of having him here. May the presence, your presence within him continue to stir a heart for peace, continue to give him wisdom and courage as he is a leader in advocating for peace for his nation. And we do pray for the country of Burundi, that you would rise up those who are peacemakers, those who are passionate about justice, those who are willing to set down their positions of power and privilege to be advocates for freedom. We thank you for your power that works within us to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And now I'd like to invite our ushers to come and receive this morning's offering.